So, what is it? It's a simple software to check things on your system and receive alerts when a check goes wrong. By default, it provides simple checks like disk usage with DEF or how many processes are running. You can also use any user-defined command like "Is my Minecraft server still working?" When a check fails 3 times in a row by default, the define alert will be triggered. Alerts are commands to execute when a check returns an error, to receive a notification, and it can be anything you want. We will see later a few examples of alerts that you may want to use. The configuration file is a plain Common Lisp because read alert is written in Common Lisp, so I did not had to create a special syntax parser or reader. But the syntax of the checks has been designed to be easy to use and easy to read. Now, what is not read alert? It doesn't make any graphics or charts. It doesn't store anything else than the count of successive failed states in order to know when to trigger the alert. We will see later why it's doing this. Also, it doesn't have any front end or back end. You just run it, it checks, and it stops. There is no daemon, so it's search proof. When should I use it? If you have any server, if you have any server with some service that have users, you may want to be noticed when something doesn't work before your user try to reach you about that problem. It is really up to you if you want to have such system, but it has not been designed to be used on huge infrastructure. There are other tools like Nagios or Ezynga if you have hundreds of servers. I don't think read alert is nice for it. I just wanted to write a simple tool for people managing a few servers like me. I run a few servers for me, for friends, and I know by experience that from time to time things goes wrong. So I want to know it first. Then who need it? This week, I wrote a script to generate every hour a new RSS feed file about the OpenBSD current change, and I want to know if it doesn't get update. So if I get a notification that the file hasn't been updated since a few hours, I can look at why the script doesn't work anymore. Also, it can be extended very far because the configuration file is a source code which is run. Every day, for example, the server is checking that every Gopher server in the Gopher loan repository is online. This is done by starting a check on every result of a shell command using a simple loop instruction. And now we have a nice status page of every Gopher server in the loan. Finally, why should I use it? I would say that if you have a server online somewhere, you may want to use it. You may at least check from time to time that your disk usage is still under a certain percent, or that some services are actually running, or that the load average is not going too high. Reading IRC. The question will be at the end, so I don't read. Why should I use it? Okay, from what I've learned at work, because I'm system administrator and I have dozens of servers. When you make an update or you make some change to a service, you may have side effects like not cleaned files which will grow and fill the disk space in a few days. You may want to prevent this to happen. So Read Alert is the right tool for that, and it's easy to use. Is it okay, everyone? I try to not speak too fast. Cool. So, I choose to make a little introduction to Lisp language. It's not going too far, but I think it's useful for understanding the examples. So the language is named Common Lisp. Lisp is only the name of a family of language that you can recognize because of the parentheses. But here we are using Common Lisp. The first line, command 10 hello variable keyword text, is a function call with a few arguments. So the function name is command here. And everything else are parameters to that command. You can see keyword with a colon before. That's a keyword that let having named parameters. So command can know that keyword parameter value is text. The second line is math. It's a division by the result of an addition. The addition will be made first, and then the result will be used in the division, and it should be 1 as a result, because you have a division of 4 by 4. Comments, so just use a semicolon for comments, and you can use multiple semicolons for making some hierarchy in Emacs that will change the color of the comments depending on the number of semicolons. About Booleans, why we always have true and false. In Common Lisp, it will be T for true and nil for false. I don't know the reason for that, but it's nice to have something else than true and false. Finally, Lisp is about lists, and defining list is very easy. You just use the list function and pass parameters, and it will create something like an object of kind list. And every function can work on list, like filter the list if it matches some condition. For example, lists are linked lists. The link is made with the function cons. A linked list means that if you want to reach some element of the list, you need to browse every element before it in the list. It's not really efficient for huge lists, but if we need to browse everything in that list, that works really good. Of course, there is other data structure if you have a lot of data, because lists don't fit every use. So I think that you know enough to read a common Lisp program now. So I will show you a real world usage. So this is a configuration file of my dedicated server. You can see two parts in the slide. The first part will define some alerts that can be used later, and the second part are the actual checks. The first part is really easy. It's the two alerts command. You can define an alert by using the function alert, and then you give a name. So here we have alert mail and alert forum. And as the last parameter, just give it a command to be executed when the alert should be triggered. There are some variables which will be replaced at the execution time, like the date, the function, the state, if it's a begin or end of a failure. And we will see later that you can use a lot of things. And in the second part, it's the actual checks we are done. I choose the name of the function to be an arrow with an equal and a greater than symbol, so you don't are too distract when you watch the file. As a second parameter of this, you choose the alert which will be triggered in case of failure. The third parameter is the probe to use, and the probe is the function that will done the check on the server, like disk usage will just check that a partition doesn't have usage more than 60%, for example. And finally, the keywords here are for giving parameters to the probe. So as you can see, for a service, you just give the name. It will call the underlying command to check that a service is actually running. For a number of processes, you just tell the limit that you do not want to reach. And for ping, you just give an host. That's all about it. And then you have a working configuration file that will prevent you from having your home partition to be full, or you will know when bitrash server doesn't answer to ping. You just need that. I try to make the keyword consistent across the probe. As you can see, for example, the limit keyword is used in disk usage or number of processes. If there is a path need, it's always named path. There is a few built-in probes, but you can write easily anything you want. It's everything in the readme file in the Git repository. So, continue. Just drink something. How it works. The way Read Alert work is very simple. Each check defined with the arrow is done individually. That means that it's not possible to regroup notifications in one run. If you have three failing things, you will receive three notifications. That also prevent to have one notification and to think it's only one thing failing. Read Alert keep track of previous failures in a file. This is so because it have to count failure numbers since last success into a file. The file name is made from a simple checksum, a simple hash algorithm of the whole code of the check. This includes the parameter used, their values, the name of the check, the name of the alert. This is possible to use every data of input to compute a hash from this, because in Common Lisp the code is also data. This result in having a file name derived from the check itself and its parameters, and it allow to be sure that the file name will be unique. And we need to store the number of failures since last success, because we may want to be only one after a defined number of successive failures. I've learned with time at my job that you don't want to be warned from some spike of processes during the backup or the load average that will go over the limit but for a few minutes. So you may at once list two successive failures before being warned to prevent false positives to happen. I choose to set a default of 3 tries before triggering an alert. It can be defined per check. If you have a very important check, you can tell that it will just warn at the first failure. Or you can just ask to receive the notification after 10th or 20 or 999 failures, as you want. It's just a keyword to add in the parameter, like try 4. You just add this to the check to be warned after n tries. About the deployment, I worked hard to make the deployment and the use of Read Alert very easy for everyone. You only need a Common Lisp interpreter like SBCIL or ECIL. You should find them in most package systems. It was a bit hard for me, but I chose to not use any external Common Lisp library, which would have making the deployment process more complicated, because I would have to include some third-party code, and I didn't want like that. So I had to rewrite from scratch some function like split or open a socket or really basic things that there is not inside the language itself. Then you have to create your configuration file. You can name it as you want, like myconfig.lisp. You can use examples from the Git repository. There are two examples files as a base, one with a real-world case like we've seen before, or another one which is very long and which show everything that you can do. So the very long configuration file can be used to get inspired from to write your own configuration. And then you need to start read alert from time to time. So just add a line into the cron tab. Like every 5 minutes, just go inside the read alert repository and load the file with the interpreter. And that's all. I recommend running it a few times every hour, depending on what you need, obviously. For example, the Gopher loan checking is done once per day. It uses a separate configuration file dedicated to it, and it has a separate cron tab entry, so it doesn't mix with the server check itself. There are two configuration files. They are launched separately, and I can stop one if I want with no problem. Now I will talk about golden rules, or how to monitor things correctly. And this is from my experience as system administrator, which I do that job since 7 years. So the first rule is don't use an alert that will fail. You don't want to send a mail if you find out that the network is not working. You have to use something else like playing a sound or send a SMS message with a connected phone, I don't know, but don't use something that fails. If you detect that you don't have sound, don't play a sound. That's as simple as that. The second rule is don't trust network checks. There is too much which could be failing, and you can't know where the point of failure is. You need to check the network remotely and compare the result with other networks to have a good result. For example, you can't know that your internet access is down if you only check one ping to one remote host, because if that host goes offline, you will think that you are offline. We will see later that read alert provide a mechanism to regroup checks into one in order to cover this case. I think that's the next two slides later. Finally, I would recommend to cross-check your servers if you can afford to. While you can check that the SMTPD service is running locally, you may also want to try from outside that the TCP port is reachable. Only these two conditions can guarantee that the service seems to work. you could also try to send a mail and read it back from IMAP, but it's getting really complicated then. You can also check that a host is online by using another computer. You can't use a host to check for itself to be alive, because when it dies, it can't tell you about it. So you need to have two servers saying if the one remote one seems to work. The more checks you add about different services, the more information you will have about the state of the machine. So, at the beginning, I talk about alerts. I just show how to use some mail, or there was a script to post on a forum. But you can use what you want. Really what you want. For example, you can send small text message through a web service or from a phone. This is very useful if you need to be warned quickly for some critics services at job. You may not want to use that for your home server because it involves costs for a phone or for the sending SMS service. You can use eSpeak to make the computer speaking, or play a sound, or activate the internal buzzer in the computer. It's useful if you have sound and you are not too far away from the computer, but that's an idea. Like the network storage saying when it goes too much inside. You could also send message using IRC, so people can subscribe to notification by joining a dedicated channel where some kind of bot is connected. You can easily do that with the II client by just writing to the channel. And finally, it got split on the presentation. Yeah, that doesn't matter. You can have desktop notification using dbus thing, but it's really up to you, and that only work if you have some local check on your computer. I tried once to see, and that wasn't very useful at all. As you can see, you can use pipe, you can use every command available on the system, and with the different variables available, that makes interesting information that you receive. And depending on the kind of notification, you may not want everything inside. Like in a SMS, you may only want to know when it happens, on what, and what happens. While on the mail, you can say everything available to have more information for later, or it's really up to you. Now, I choose to add the two next slides because I think it's an important process in monitoring. So I add a way to regroup checks. The first is named Stop If Error. which, as the name explains itself, will stop the checks as parameters at the first returning an error. This is very useful if you check a path where every element depends on the previous one. So if one fails, you don't have to spend time checking the others, and it prevents yourself to receive useless alerts, like sending a mail, bitrage.org doesn't respond, when you don't even have a working internet access. As you can see, the indentation is a little on the right after stop if error, because they are parameters of it. And if a check fails once, you just go at the end of stop if error. So you can skip things that can't be tested because something in the past is blocking. In this example, first we try to ping the local gateway, and if it fails, we use the alert SMS from USB phone to warn you that the local router doesn't work, and you will don't do anything after that. But if it works, you can try to reach your mail server. And if you can reach it, you know that you can use a mail alert, because you can reach the mail server, you can assume that the mail service is working. So when you try to ping some host, you can use a mail alert and it will work. Or you can think it will work. Finally, that stop if error function is only the function end renamed. It processes its argument list until one is not true, so it stops. This is why I liked to use Common Lisp for the configuration file, because I can easily extend my file with one line of code to rename end into something more readable. So I think that stop if error is self-explanatory, you know, and if it was end, that would not help to understand what's happening. Now, we have seen stop if error, but we are going to see a backup alternative. I didn't know how to name this slide, but you will understand when I will explain about the command escalation in the example. So we start everything in a stop if error block. So we just start to ping the gateway with a silence alert, because we don't want to be noticed if it doesn't ping. And later we see the escalation thing. It works as the stop if error block, but this one it will make continue only if the previous statement returns an error. So in this example, we have three different hosts to check if we can ping outside. If the last one fails, we will send the SMS to warn about it. This is unlikely to happen in most cases, except if the internet access is down. So I'm not sure if it's clear, but if the host 1, 2, 3, 4 answer to ping, then we stop that and we know that we can reach outside. If it fails, we won't assume that internet is not working, so we can try another ping. And if it works, then it's 1, 2, 3, 4, which is offline, not our internet connection. And we can regroup this in one statement for stop if error. So the whole process doesn't stop if one host doesn't respond. Escalation will return T for true if at least one host works. This escalation